You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Andy Sullivan becomes the first three-time winner on tour this season.
To win three events in one year, it's just, words cannot describe how proud I am and can't believe that I've done it, you know. It's just incredible.
We hear from the Englishman after his remarkable nine-shot victory in Portugal shortly, while second place was secured by his compatriot and playing partner Chris Wood.
I didn't play great, but I had my chances, but he played absolutely superb, so congrats to him.
So a full review of the Portugal Masters is on the way, and we look ahead to the UBS Hong Kong Open. And I'm very delighted to say I've been joined by Richard Boxall. Richard, good day to you.
Good day to you, Roberto. How's things with you?
Well, very good, thank you. I'm just sort of admiring the way the players cope with quite a difficult weekend at the fifth major, the Portugal Masters.
Well, yes, I gulp there. I forgot you'd won that, haven't you? Mind you, it was Portuguese Open when you won it, wasn't it?
Same trophy, though, is it not?
I don't know. I never got to stroke it.
No, Seve didn't either. It's one of those things, but never mind.
Well,
I think he won everything. Anyway, moving on.
Didn't win the Italian.
No, he didn't win. You did, Richard, didn't you?
I did.
So, Portugal Masters,
yes.
A commanding performance. You have to start with Andy Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. Opening up with 264s was very impressive. Plus, they also had the weight on their shoulders of, you know, this actually might only be 36 holes. So they had to review it and restart and started early and started at 8. Shotgun start, I think it was Saturday and Sunday, shotgun start, which was a strange way to finish, sort of everybody finishing at the same time, but nobody managing to get within any distance of Andy Sullivan. I mean, to win by 9, 23 under par, and after those two 64s, closing in with 67 and 66 on the final date, I don't think anyone got nearer than a 5, I don't think it was it?
No, well, I mean, he kept his distance the whole week. I mean, he was remarkable, really. 3 wins, though, Richard, in the season. That's not a bad career, is it?
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, some people only have 1 or 2 even, don't they, Robert?
A win's a win, Richard.
Well, it is, yes. And you still get that sort of feelings, don't you, as you're coming down towards the line.
With that method.
with that method.
So...
Yes.
No, shotgun start. Yeah. Difficult, because everyone's starting at the same time. It was very windy on Saturday, and then it had... wind rain problems predominantly on Sunday.
I think the bunkers were all flooded. I did make a phone call over there to find out how things were going on. I think they were planning for an 8 o'clock shotgun start. Never happened. I think they got underway at 10 o'clock. Steve Bedder was saying that the bunkers were in big trouble because of the rain they'd had overnight. And it was going to get difficult to drain them all. But no, shotgun start is very weird. Obviously, Andy Sullivan on the final day started at the first because they thought he was going to win, and they were quite right. So, you know, the last group would always be teeing off the first.
Well, what have we learnt about Andy Sullivan after this week that we didn't already know?
He, again, another one of these up-and-coming young English players. You know, with the likes of Eddie Pepperell, Tommy Fleetwood. And we've learnt that he's got some serious bottle.
What have we learned?
2 wins in South Africa early on in the season. And as you say, this is his third win now. So,
what have we learnt about his temperament?
Well, having watched him, I think he's quite cool and calm. I don't think he loses it. Occasionally, he might, you know, get a little bit uptight about things, but not really. He looks pretty cool and calm to me.
Would it surprise you if he went on to win, let's say, one of the final series, one of the final four? Would that surprise you?
No, it wouldn't. No, and
I think that sort of gives you a measure of where he is now.
Yeah, he'd be contending for the for automatic qualification for the Ryder Cup.
When you start winning, you find your first win. It's still quite a leap to make a Ryder Cup side, but after winning 3, he must be a contender, surely.
Yeah, I would have thought he's going to, you know, he's had one in the run up to the qualifying, he's had 1 win. I would have thought he would need to have another one somewhere along the line. And if you did pick up one of those tournaments in the final series, you know, he picked up Turkey, HSBC.
He's a long way to getting it done, isn't he?
BMW Masters and also the race to Dubai. The DP World Tour Championship, sorry, I should say. Then he's got, he's got a great chance, isn't he?
Yeah, yes. Well, time to hear from the latest champion on the European Tour. Here's Andy Sullivan.
To go wire to wire, it's been unbelievable. And to establish that lead I did after 54 holes was really good. And I was a bit apprehensive this morning, a little bit edgy. But seemed to settle down, put on 4, really settled me down. And from there onwards, I felt really comfortable again and quite confident in my game, what I was doing and what I needed to do. So, but to finish birdie-birdie the way I did and to have such a massive margin, it's it's an incredible feeling as well to have all my family and friends, my mum and dad here. It's been unbelievable.
Well, your wins have been so differing. You came from so far back at the SA Open when we didn't think you had a chance.
Yeah.
And then the second one was again making up shots on the final day. Has it changed your approach, the way you do things when you're leading all the time?
No, I think it's just situations you find yourself in. You know, just think of, you've got to adapt to it. And I think I adapted really well, you know, today. I've never been that far in the lead, never had a lead going into the final round, so it was something new for me to find out about myself, and I think I handled it really well, you know. Didn't really make too many mistakes, didn't get too many flags, and just really played within myself and kept calm out there and enjoyed it.
We've known you're a good player for a long time. I dare say you have, but you need to get over that line. This season, can you quite believe that that's three victories?
No, you know what I mean? At the start of the year, you're obviously highlighting to win one, but to win three events in 1 year, it's just, words cannot describe how proud I am, and can't believe that I've done it, you know. It's just incredible. Glad I've got a week off next week to enjoy it all now, really.
Well, there are bound to be knock-on effects as well, like into the world's top 50, nicely positioned Race to Dubai, well-ranking points, all that. But I suppose there's even team competitions to look forward to, potentially.
Yeah, you never know these things, but... you know, today I think a few things were in my mind last night, and I just tried to block it all out and just go out there and play golf and just let it take care of itself. You know, if I keep playing golf to my ability, I think them things will take care of themselves, or if they don't, I'll give it my best shot. So for me, it's just about going out there and trying to play good golf and enjoy it.
I see you nodding, Richard.
No point nodding on the radio.
Well, that's right. Nodding doesn't work on the Race to Dubai show. It was his third European Tour International scheduled victory in his 107th European Tour event. He is the first player to win three times this season. He's played 84 European Tour events without a win, and now he's won three of his last 23. That is some strike rate. And his winning margin of 9 shots is the biggest of 2015, beating the 7 of Brandon Grace at the Alfred Dunhill Championship. OK, let's hear now from those who are left in his wake. Here's his compatriot Chris Wood, who finished second.
Andy played fantastic today. I hardly missed a shot. No one was catching him today. I didn't play great, but I had my chances. But he played absolutely superb, so congrats to him.
So when were you thinking of second spot as opposed to trying to chase him down?
Probably after sort of five or six holes, he was, you know, he wasn't missing a shot. Yeah, the greens were tough the last couple of days because they were so slow. So, yeah, the chances you had, they were tough to make.
Question for you, Richard.
Yes, yes.
Without looking, where is Chris Wood in the Race to Dubai?
18th.
Well done, you did look.
No, I didn't.
He's had a good season,
fantastic.
Hasn't he?
He won in Austria.
Yeah.
He finished very well at the Dunhill Links, shot 65, I think it was, in the last round. So he's recently been in the top 10 quite a lot and clonking up second spot there last week. All in all, it's been a good season for him. As I look down, Robert, on the Race to Dubai, you know, the reason I know he was 18th, because the one person I was just putting a line next to because I knew we were going to have a chat was Chris Wood. And I looked at that and thought, oh, 18th on the Race to Dubai, that's not bad. With, I might add, Robert, it's now Race to Dubai points, but it's the same as Euros. 1,174,809. With the four big events still left to play in the final series.
He can double that. Chris could double that in a few weeks' time.
What was your best finish ever?
About 20th.
Oh, was it? Right. Well, let me just... Can you remember how much it was?
Oh, no, I just can't.
Well, I can, because you know me. 17th was my best finish on the Order of Merit,
yeah.
which is now the Race to Dubai. And now it's 1.2, virtually 1.2 million euros. Way back in 1990, that was 100 for finished was 148,000.
But you're not bitter and twisted. That's the best thing about it.
No, right? You got a tenner. No.
Oh, very good. Yeah, well, I can lend you a tenner. It's not a problem. Yeah, yeah. It's from the old the pension scheme. I'll just drag it out of that.
Well, exactly.
Yes, you'll be right. Don't worry about that. And funnily enough, yeah. England in the first two spots, and there was another Englishman who finished third, Anthony Wall.
It's brilliant because I've always honestly felt I could do really well here, and I always seem to finish. When I have a good week, I seem to finish 12th or 15th, and that just tends to blend into a season. So any time you have a top three in any European Tour event, especially one as good as the Portuguese Masters, is a great feeling, because I do like the golf course, and I think I love the whole environment here.
It's kind of strange with the shotgun start, isn't it? People might not appreciate the dynamics that are involved in it, but it's different for the way you approach things.
Oh, it's completely different, completely different. And until everyone finishes, you can't tell what the scoring's going to be like, because people some finishing on three easy holes. You know, we had a couple, two or three easy holes to finish. Other people could be finishing on 5, 6, 7, you know, three hard holes. So you just have to keep your head down and do your best.
Also tied for third was South Africa's Trevor Fisher, who never gave up hope.
I thought to myself, if I could birdie 10, 11, 12, you know, you never know what could happen, especially down the stretch. Last hole's quite a tough hole as well. But the wind, you know, the wind obviously wasn't, well, it wasn't blowing much today, so the course wasn't playing too difficult. They've moved some of the tees up, you know, which gives you a chance to make a few birdies out there. So, you know, just unfortunately for me, it just didn't work out. I think if I could have birdied six as well, get it to, that would have been, I think I was 15, that would have been 16, and try to finish with an eagle on the 17th. But Andy really played well. I mean, I think he must have controlled the ball great, fairways and greens, and just putted very well. I mean, 23 under par is pretty impressive.
And completing the triumvirate in third place was another Spanish player who has one of the great Formula One names. If he wasn't a golfer in another life, he'd be a Formula One driver, Eduardo de la Riva.
My game was today very poor.
When you started, were you still thinking you could chase down the man who's won?
Yes, but when you see how it's Andy playing, it's very difficult, no? And with my game of today, I don't have any chance.
Well done, Eduardo, and all the players that finished very high up at the Portugal Masters. Top 10, please, Rich.
Top 10 is a big tie at ninth, Robert. Do you want that ninth right the way through to 15th, or do you want me to just do the top five for you?
No, I think if you finish 10th, you deserve your name.
Okay, tied ninth was Robert Rock, Bernd Ritthammer, Garth Mulroy, Mikko Kohonen, Stephen Gallagher. Nice to see him playing well. Eduard España. Tied also ninth was Lucas Beauregard. Sixth was Thomas Peters, Craig Lee and Jorge Campillo. And then tied third was Anthony Wall, Trevor Fisher Jr., Eduardo de la Riva, Chris Wood at 14 under out in second on his own. But miles ahead, and I mean miles, nine shots victory, Andy Sullivan, 23 under.
Now, fancy race to Dubai tips. Last week, Rich, you went for Chris Wood, finished second. And you thrashed Dan Roebuck, who went for Søren Kjeldsen.
Who was doing all right at one point.
Yeah.
I remember. Where did Kjeldsen finish?
37th.
Did he?
Yeah. As for the fancy race to Dubai, Ian's team, Born to Bogey, earned the most points last week. He had Andy Sullivan as the star player, as well as runner-up Chris Wood and fellow Englishman Wall, Fleetwood and Bland, who all finished well in Portugal. Niall Conroy is now on top of the overall standings. His team, Emerald Gems, now has just over 32.3 million points and leads the way with just 5 weeks to go. Remember, check out this week's Fantasy Five to watch on the EuropeanTour.com website from Tuesday for the Stats Guru's tips at the UBS Hong Kong Open. And to pick your fantasy team, just go to EuropeanTour.com/MyEuropeanTour. Now, Richard, the top 10 standings in the race to Dubai, please.
Okay, 10th is Tongchai Jaidi. Søren Kjeldsen is 9th. 8th is Brooks Koepka. Bernd Wiesberger is 7th. Brandon Grace is 6th. Justin Rose is at 5th. 4th is Shane Lowry. Louis Oosterhuizen is 3rd. 2nd still is Danny Willett. And still at number 1 is Rory McIlroy.
And, of course, Andy Sullivan now moving to the top 15 position. Now, in other news, Lee Slattery has been announced as the Hilton Golfer of the Month for September. The Englishman won his first European Tour title in 4 years after claiming the M2M Russian Open at the start of the month.
It means a lot. I mean, I can remember last time when I won in Madrid, was it young Tom Lewis came to Portugal. I think he'd just turned professional that week, and he managed to sneak that event. I'll say sneak that event. I mean, he won it absolutely brilliantly, and he just managed to pick me for that Golfer of the Month award. So it's nice to be able to finally win one, and hopefully there's a few more in the future.
The European Tour said goodbye to one of its favourite sons at the weekend as Anders Hansen decided to call time on his career on tour. The Dane won 3 times on the European Tour, including that memorable win at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth in 2007. He's been speaking to Nick Dye.
There's a lot of reasons. You know, there's always a balance in life where you go, the positives and the negatives in life. And in my case, the negatives and the things I wanted to do off the golf course just became a bit, the list became a bit longer than the other list, so that's why the decision's been made.
So we wish him luck with his busy life. So well done, Anders Hansen. Great compatriot on tour. And the Danish contingent, he was very much one of the pioneers, along with Thomas Bjorn, and to get Denmark on the map, he played his part, he sure did. And on the PGA Tour, Argentina's Emiliano Grillo claimed his first tour event at the Fries.com after a playoff with Kevin Na. 15 under par was the score to get to extra time, and he won it at the second extra hole. So Grillo, who got his card by winning the final event in the Web.com final series, he won the Tour Championship, goes straight on to the first event on the PGA Tour as a full member and wins, Richard. How impressive is that?
That's very impressive. Doesn't win on the European Tour, so which is the harder tour?
Obviously, the European Tour is the harder tour.
Right.
I mean, one go on the PGA Tour and he wins.
Exactly.
You know, he comes over to Europe and he's had some good performances. I remember him finishing second in Dubai when he hit a three wood, bounced off the stand to about 150 feet, and he eagled, finished second in Dubai.
He did.
But he is, Emiliano is a really good player. And ladies and gentlemen in America, it's Grillo. It's not Grillo.
No, so it's Grillo. That's as in Grillo pad.
Well, as in Grillo pad, because I was in a. I know this because I asked him. I was with Felipe Aguilar.
Yeah.
And Emiliano in the corridor in Celtic Manor. And as they're going past, I thought, I've been commentating on Emiliano today. I'll ask him how he pronounced his name. I said, Emiliano, how do you pronounce your surname? And before he could say anything, Felipe said, it's Grillo, it's Grillo. And he said, no. He says, it's my name. It's Grillo. He said, really? He said, yeah, it's Grillo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go. You heard it from Robert Lee, there who is are. An absolute hit at parties. He can clear a table at 14 paces with absolutely no problem.
But you're normally holding my hand. So that's the way we work. That's the way we rock, Richard. Top 10 world rankings, please.
Yes, you can have those, Robert. Zach Johnson's 10th. Jim Furyk is 9th. Dustin Johnson is 8th. 7th is Justin Rose. Henrik Stenson is 6th. Ricky Fowler's 5th. 4th is Bubba Watson. Rory McIlroy is now down to 3rd. 2nd is Jordan Spieth, who dropped down to let Jason Day lead the way.
Jason Day, number one now in the world. They're going to bounce around between the three of them, I think.
They will,
McIlroy,
yes.
Day and young Spieth.
Yes, terrific. I think they will. Yeah, yeah. The three of them, the three top.
The three musketeers at the top, yeah. Great, great advert for the sport and the way it should be played, and three top blokes. Now on to this week's action, Richard, and it's the UBS Hong Kong Open at the Hong Kong Golf Club. It's a really favourite venue for a lot of players because it's a really old-fashioned golf course, beautiful part of the world, great city, and of course it's very important for those players who want to be on tour next year. You've got to finish in the 110, the top 110, after this week to have your card for next year.
You have, and that's why, you know, if you're one of those players, it's a great shame going to that event. Okay, it's a long old flight out there, 13 hours, but it is, like you say, an old course. It's great fun. The food's great, and you really want to enjoy it. But you can't if you're in 110. If your name's Seve Benson, you've played 25 events, you've won 247,489 points, which is the same in euros, and you're 110th on the race to Dubai. It's, you know, it's not a nice week. I mean, you could actually, as it happens, he's 7,000 virtually ahead of Prom Misawak, who's 111. But then again, you've got Chris Paisley. Chris Paisley is 109th. Seve Benson is only 4,000 behind him. So it's quite easy to jump past Chris Paisley. You know, there are some good names that are outside that top 110. You've got Anders Hansen, who's retiring. OK, admittedly, he'll be out. But Michael Lundberg, multiple winner on the European Tour, is outside that top 110. I think Lundberg will be exempt because he won in Austria last year. So I think he's got another year exemption, not 100%. But Tom Lewis, Robert, 116th on the race to Dubai. Tom Lewis, who won the Portugal Masters early on in his career. He's right down there. Harrington won't matter so much. Florian Fritsch, who featured well at the Dunhill Links, he's 121st with 206,000. So they've all got, you know, it's not a massive amount of money to be played for in Hong Kong. So, you know, for somebody like Florian Fritsch, he doesn't fly. So he's not even, you know, he's not going to get the boat, is he? So he won't be playing. He's gone. Paul Waring is another player that's outside. Mark Foster, Rob, is 126th on the race to Dubai. So he's got, you know, he's going to have to finish in the top three or four in Hong Kong if he wants to keep his card.
So it's all those players that have got a battle against the European players, the players from the Asian Tour, because it's co-sanctioned.
Yes.
And the top names that are going there. Give us some of the top names.
You've got Harrington, who's not playing brilliantly this season, but he's always a top name there. Justin Rose, who's playing nicely. Graham McDowell getting back to a bit of form. Wai Yang.
Again, back to your theory, you know, Harrington won the Honda in the United States.
He did.
Easier to win in America than it is in Europe.
Yes, back to that, that's quite right. Patrick Reed from the Woodlands Country Club in the United States. He's coming over to try and steal some of our money from the European Tour. Matthew Fitzpatrick, you know, winner of the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports only week before. Miguel Angel Jimenez, watch out for him. You can almost guarantee him a top 10 finish, Miguel. Loves it out there. Big cigar, and they love him. Has a little glass of Van Rouge out on that patio there. Have you been to Hong Kong?
Yes, I have. Been to the golf club as well. I once played a match there. I did a little bit of Hong Kong and Australia one winter back in the mid-80s, and had a bounce game on the Wednesday with Sam Torrance, Ian Woosnam and David Fairty. That was the four ball.
Right.
And my partner was Woozy against Torrance and Fairty.
And the last hole, quite tricky. It was cold and windy, and it was into her face. It was a drive to the top of the hill and a four iron. I made four up the last hole, and that won the money. So we're $200 or $300 up, maybe $400 up. Myself and Woozy sitting in the clubhouse, waiting cup of tea, you know, waiting for the hand to come out with the dollar bills, and it never appeared. And Torrance says, "What's the time? 4 o'clock. Time for another 9 holes." And out we went, and subsequently lost the lot. All square. Yeah, all there square. You go.
And talking about our American friends, Robert, of Patrick Reed, I also can tell you that Dustin Johnson and Rich Beam will be playing in this UBS Hong Kong Open.
I think that course is too short for Dustin. Because he can't unload his driver many times around there. A lot of turns in the fairways and stuff like that,
It's a really old-fashioned course, isn't it?
Lovely, lovely short walks from the greens to the tees. Yeah. It's a beautiful place, it really is. So, with that in mind, Richard, and all those players you've mentioned and the players struggling to keep their card, who do you fancy?
I'm going to go... Well, I got Chris Wood, didn't I, last week, second.
That's right. You're under pressure.
I am. I'm going to go for Jimenez.
Are you?
Yeah.
He's always played so well around there. I'm going to counter that with a player. I'm going to go with the Andy Sullivan proxy. What he's been doing recently. I know he's got the week off, but getting those wins racked up at an early stage. I'm going to go for Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I did look at him as well.
You didn't mention him, though?
No.
You looked at him and just didn't mention him. I kind of think you didn't look at him. Anyway, you've picked Miguel Ángel Jiménez versus Matthew Fitzpatrick. Two fantastic players. But let's get a brief perspective on the event from Scotland's Craig Lee.
Of course, it's probably more of an older style, traditional, a little bit shorter, but tight as well. So if I can overcome the heat, keep myself hydrated, it should be quite a good week.
It will be a good week. And the greens are quite small, Richard, aren't they?
Yeah, they are very small, and you've got to be missing them if you want to miss them at all. Got to be missing them on the right side. Give yourself plenty of green to work with.
Is there a photo fit for the player that's likely to be successful here?
Someone like Miguel Ángel Jiménez.
Or Matthew Fitzpatrick, indeed.
Yeah.
We shall see. We're only 7 days away from finding out who's going to be the champion in Hong Kong. That's all to look forward to. But that's it for now. Next week, we will review the aforementioned UBS Hong Kong Open and look ahead to the final series starting in Turkey. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall.
Bye.
And myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.